Well, hello everybody, and welcome to your weekly astrological weather. This is your place to get practical guidance for not only navigating the cosmic tides, but thriving with them. My name is Amanda Pua Walsh. I'm the founder of Astrology Hub, and I am here with your favorite astrological weather woman, predictive astrologer, Ann Ortley. And we are so, so happy to be here with all of you. I know it's been like a rocking weekend. A rockin' week since we were together last time. So excited to just dive right in today, Anne. So let's talk about the astrology. What's going on?
Well, Saturn stationed last night to go direct. So he and Godzilla have, you know, if we do, he's King Kong or Godzilla, whoever. That was the energy of the two of them stopped fighting with each other last week. You know, so 5 days before Wednesday, and we still have 5 days with Saturn after. But that's that Godzilla energy, you know, Saturn, Pluto changing direction. And also we had the Eris Pluto square in either of those could be it. So that's the good news, is that energy is abating. Eris Pluto has fifth square. Saturn Pluto opposition is separating. The boys are taking off and going on their own ways. You know, one last little shove maybe this week. And then as we get towards the end of the week, what's going to happen is the sun is going to move into that configuration that Mercury's been in twice. Mercury still has a third pass through it, but the sun's going to go in there, and it's going to let you understand why it happened. So that's the part that we're going to, you know, because whenever the sun comes along, like the planets do stuff, right? And we're in the mix, and we're, you know, we're doing our thing. And when we get away and the sun comes through, he goes, I just want to tell you what's really been going on. So that's helpful, because that illumination is going to happen when the sun gets to the 20s next week, or the end of the week. The other thing is Venus went into Sagittarius. So she's now in the sign of candles. So she's all about lighting the candles and spreading the light. Whereas, you know, most of this Mercury retrograde, she's been in Scorpio, because she rules all the Libra planets, including Mercury in Libra. So that's why it's been so emotionally intense. Everybody's been having an honorary Venus in Scorpio, you know, in their Libra house, where they're like, oh my God, is this what Venus and Scorpios really go through? The answer is yes. But now Venus went into Sag, and she's like, ah, this little light of mine, it's going to shine. And if you remember, I mean, I'm a Catholic. I love Easter Vigil. I love going to Easter Vigil. It happens on Saturday night. They blacken the church. They put drapes over all the sculptures. You know, Jesus isn't on the cross anymore, but they're, you know, everything's covered. Completely black church. And then they light this bonfire in the middle of the church. And then from that bonfire, they light the Paschal candle. And then from the Paschal candle, they light all the people. You sit in complete darkness. They light all the people's candles, and then you spread the light. You share the candle. And the beauty of candles is they have their light, but they share it. They don't go out. Matches go out. Fireplaces can't move around. Mm-hmm. Candles can. They can spread the illumination. So the Libra planets are all answering to Venus and Sag, and they're all going, I'm illuminated. I'm seeing things. The candle. And so I encourage people to sit in the dark and light a candle. And then just sit and look at the candle, and then take a couple other candles and light them from that. And that's the energy of the week. It's going to start spreading the light, you know, and like the start spreading the news. It's going to be start spreading the light, and kind of imagining, as you said a couple minutes ago, imagining the light spreading, because all of us who are listening to the podcast know, hey, we're getting the illumination from the light in the sky, the stars. Planets are wandering stars. That's what it means. And so we're getting illuminated by the stars, and we're bringing the light down to Earth. And then when someone says to you, is there something going on in the heavens? Like, is Mercury retrograde or something? You know, like, man, you can go, yes, you know, it's happening. And you can share the light with your fellow human or your fellow children or your fellow grandparents or parents or your siblings who know you're kind of into astrology. And they're like, you know, what is going on, man? And they're like, yeah, I'm sharing the light with you, the light of knowledge, the light of, you know, in the Catholic tradition, the resurrection and the light. You know, it's like after the death of Scorpio, which is an ending, there is the resurrection, there's the light. And we go towards the winter solstice when the light is the smallest in the Northern Hemisphere. And in the old days, they would celebrate and put candles on trees, not really a good fire hazard, but that's where the concept comes from. But also illuminating, sharing light. And then you got to the winter solstice and the sun got as low as he was going to go. And apologies to our southern hemisphere, reverse this for you guys because it's your summer. But low as it's going to go. And then the sun got a little stopped, solstice, stop of the sun. And then he started to climb back. And everybody went, oh, thank you. The sun has returned. The sun is returning. But in the meantime, in the season of Sagittarius, we celebrate with candles, movable fire, because it's dark out. It's dark now. And so we're like, wow, it's dark. And we're going towards the darkest night, the shortest day, the darkest night. And so that energy of fire and light a light so you can see, light a light so you can share the light, so you can share the illumination. I remember one time I was doing a reading and we had a blackout in New York, right? I got a client, we're at the table, and my neighbor calls. That it was on my house phone, so it was working. And she says, power's out. I said, yeah, power's out up here too. Traffic, everybody's honking and yelling. And I said to her, do you want to finish the reading? She goes, well, can we? And I said, sure, let me just get a couple candles. So I got a couple candles. We lit the candles. We did the reading. And then I said, now you have to take a candle because you can't get down the stairs, which are black. And I'll stand at the top of the stairs and I'll wait till you're down at the bottom. And so she left with a candle and she walked down the stairs. I live on the fifth floor. She walked down the stairs. And then she's like, I made it. I'm like, okay, bye. And she left. And that was carrying the light. And that's the energy of this week. And as the sun comes to go through these areas that we've had such contention with, he's going to go, I'm going to give you a little insight. Because not only is Venus in Sag, but the sun's answering to Venus in Sag. He goes, I'm going to tell you what's been going on. So that's really important this week while Mercury is still retrograde. The sun goes through this patch and he tells you, now we're going to have Mercury go through it one more time. It's already gone through it twice. And we're going to have Mars go through it, which might be a little more contentious, but that's not this week. That's like down the road. And we're moving forward. Saturn's going forward. Pluto's going forward. And then the gang all goes forward. Jupiter, Chiron, Neptune, Aries, Eris, Uranus, they all go direct over the next couple months. So everybody starts going forward from having been backwards since January. In January, we're back with Pluto. We're back to January 4th. With Saturn, we're back to February 14th. And now we are full steam ahead. So it's really fun, but it also, you might be a little tired this week.
Yes.
There's a lot going on.
After that week or a couple weeks, yeah, we're going to be tired. So couple questions for you. I mean, what you just described about the solstice and the darkness and the light and everything is so beautiful. I have a question for you. So you said that Saturn and Pluto are moving direct now, and we have, you know, Mercury retrograde still, but it's going to start going direct. And everything's going to start going direct here soon. All year, you've been talking about the cardinal, mutable, and fixed signs. And how people that have cardinal energy, mainly cardinal energy, have already made their big move for the year. People who have mutable energy made their change sometime in the summer. And people who have fixed energy are going to be making their change at the end of the year. So are we in that time period now where the predominantly fixed energy people are like, okay, now I know what I need to do. They're going to start doing it.
Yeah. And what can happen is the cardinal planets in your chart could have already shifted a little, but they didn't actually make the physical change because the fixed planets haven't done it yet. So you look at the blend, because some people go, well, I changed this then. I quit my job, but I got 6 months severance. I'm not really looking for work.
Right.
I had somebody the other day say that, and she actually said, and I negotiated a year off. I'm like, okay, well, you're going to know in March because that's when her chart's ready. But she can feel like I'm changing. You know, I did that for 19 years. I worked in the banking and I'm done. I'm like, yeah, you are. Nice little Taurus. I'm done. But she had mutable stuff. So that got her let go in the spring, in June, when the second square happened. But her Taurus isn't sure what it wants to do yet, because it hasn't hit its last square. So it's kind of, you do, when we did the chart signature class where you looked at your blend of how much mutable, how much cardinal, how much fixed I have, that's going to really govern when you go. But this is when the Tauruses, the Leos, the Scorpios, and the Aquarians say, okay, now I'm going to change. Right. When they step up into it.
Right. So if you're listening and you missed that workshop and you're like, what are they talking about? And how do I know if I'm cardinal, fixed, or mutable? You can go to astrologyhub.com/your chart signature. Laura, can you please confirm that for me? And if I'm saying that link wrong, can you please put it in the chat and in the description of the show so anybody watching later can find it? But I'm pretty sure it's astrologyhub.com/your chart signature, and you can figure out your blend and your signature, both from those are the modes of your chart. You'll also find out your blend of elements.
The blend of your elements, right.
And then you'll also find out, even if you're a Leo, but you don't come off that way and you never feel that way, you'll find out why, what your chart actually is more predominantly. So yeah, it's that workshop was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. But it also is understanding the blend. And also, like, if you look at partner might be ready to roll and you're like, I'm not ready yet.
Right.
You know, or vice versa. And so when we understand that, we understand, you know, okay, who's jumping off? You know, the analogy I've been using is, you know, we're all going to be, you know, you watch those war movies, right, where there's the big open door and who goes through the hole first out, you know, jumping out like the D-Day landing or something. And Pluto just jumped, Saturn just jumped, Jupiter jumps next week on the 16th. And they're all, you know, they're all in their parachutes jumping out that door. And then you watch the war movies and they have all the little guys in the parachutes coming down to Earth. So the planets are all jumping out and going, okay, we're ready, let's go. And you're like, I don't know if I'm ready. I'm really tired from what we went through. No worries, let's go. So you're going to feel like, we got to go. And you're going to be like, but you got to go.
Well, and some of us may feel like we have to be. I always think if I've never done, what is it when you jump out of a plane? What's it called?
Parachute. Yeah.
But okay, isn't there a name for it? Anyways, I've always thought
skydiving.
Skydiving, thank you.
But you know, when the military, planets are all in air. They're Aquarius, you know, Aquarius is in air, Saturn's in air, Jupiter, they're jumping out of the plane. You know, they're going, let's land and take the hill. And we're all like, whoa. And of course, you know, that's the energy. It's like, let me take the hill, you know, let me, whatever.
I've always thought if I were to skydive, though, someone would need to push me. Someone would need to push me out of that plane because I don't think I would do it on my own. And I do have predominantly fixed energy. So someone would have to go, okay, Amanda, you're going. Okay, Anne, so we have our planets going direct. We have the abating of the Eris-Pluto square. We did a great Eris episode last week. If you're interested in understanding the Eris, which I have now learned, it's supposed to be Aries. If we were gonna pronounce it correctly, Aries. Okay.
Well, you know, it's the origin of Eric and Aaron.
Okay.
If you know any Aarons or Erics, they tend to be, you know, that I'm doing the Celtic pronunciation, but yes, you do the Greek. Yes.
It's Aries. So yeah. Okay.
Eri people, and if you know Aarons or you know Erics, they are that energy.
Or Erica, right?
Erica, yeah. Totally. I mean, I have a lot of Ericas. I have a lot of Aarons. I have a lot of Erics in my practice. And yes, they are all. One of them was, you know, in the Pentagon, and she was Lieutenant Colonel when she retired and took me on a tour of the Pentagon. She ran disbursements of 500,000 people, you know, 500,000 people deploying. You know, she would run this stuff, you know, because they're military, they're Aaron. They're big.
Yeah. Okay. That episode was last Friday, I believe, if you want to check it out. It was a great deep dive into the Aries energy. Yeah. Okay. So, Anne, what else do we have going this week?
That's the big stuff. I mean, you know, I think those are the highlights as we're kind of bopping through it. We do have the Sun trines Jupiter on the 15th, which is usually kind of a positive energy. And then when we get to the 17th, he dives into the fight with Eris and Pluto, or Aries and Pluto. His Sun's going to be opposite Eris and then squaring Pluto, the 17th. So that's kind of and we're going to feel the buildup. But remember, the Sun wants to shine the light. So she's going to shine directly at Eris, and she's going to look at Pluto and say to Pluto, okay, so psychologically, are you ready to integrate what's been going on about your power dynamics? And opposite Eris, she's going to say, I know you want to fight with me, you know, and I understand you're picking a fight on purpose, but can we come up with another way to talk about it? So there's an energy there of looking at Eris or Aries and saying, okay, what's the vision? And then squaring Pluto, saying psychologically integrate all this power dynamics that have been going on. But also look back at what Mercury did, because he stirred the pot twice already. And then next, he's going to go through the pot again a third time and stir it again. And Mars is going to come through there too. So Mars, when he comes through in Libra, he's going to say, okay, now that you've been woken up twice, and now that you see what's going on, what do you want to do about it? And then Mercury is going to give us one more of the third version or the third story. And there was a great Broadway show called Copenhagen. A friend of mine was in it. And it was the story of Niels Bohr and Heisenberg and the wife of Niels Bohr. And so the three of them told the story. And Niels Bohr was a famous physicist, and he was Nazi Germany. Heisenberg came from Germany. He was working for the Germans, and he would go on walks with Niels Bohr, and Niels Bohr was his teacher, and he would talk to him, and they would problem solve. And so they do this. It's an amazing play. So they do this story, and so first we hear it from Niels' point, then we hear it from the wife's point, then we hear it from Heisenberg's point. I think that's the order. But at any rate, basically, they interrupted this conversation. The two of them interrupted. And Heisenberg said to Bohr, the reason you're still alive as a Jew is because I've been protecting you. And Bohr went, what? And he kind of interrupted the conversation. But they did it where they didn't have that story. And then the stage was set up so all the people were behind him. It was a sloped stage. And then the nuclear bomb went off. And it was like, wow. And Bohr immigrated to the United States and helped with a nuclear bomb with us, but Heisenberg was developing it for the Germans. So it's a really interesting, and the three different versions of the story, from the husbands, from the teacher, from the student, from the wife, telling the story. So I think of Mercury, we've had part one, we've had part two, now we're going to have the third, and we're going to find out what could happen or what did happen, or you know, is the stage, you know, and so all the people on the stage, when they blow the bomb up, we all go like, ah, you know, because I got a seat on the stage because my friend was in the play. And I'm like, oh my God, like I just got blown up. It is amazing play, but it also talks about that triad of one, two, three. Like, what's the truth? You know, your truth, my truth, and the other truth. So it's a really interesting time because Mercury's in Libra, the sign of truth and balance and seeking truth. So he was in Scorpio, so he was telling you all the machinations. Well, you know, this is what's going on, that's going on. And now he's in Sag, and he goes, okay, so now that you know all that, what do you want to do about it? Mm-hmm. And that's where we get to make our Sagittarius is a very moral sign. It goes, what's right, what's wrong, what's truth, what's not truth. Think about all the conversations people have been having or you've been having with people about your own truth, their truth, what the truth is, what's truth look like, and secrets that have been revealed about truths. You know, we had what's her name show up last week when Facebook went out, which was really a very Eris Pluto kind of thing. But she showed up in 60 Minutes and she said, yeah, they like to make people fight. It makes them more money. And I'm like, wow, okay. I mean, I got 10,000 documents that say it. And then you go, huh, they want us fighting? Well, of course, when you're fighting, you're not going forward, you're fighting. So when someone wants to fight with you, when someone wants to fight with you and be provocative with you, you want to kind of go, oh, you want to be a little provocative with me, do you? You know, at this point, I would insert a penis joke and make you blush. I'm not going to do that. I already did that, right? So you said, you're making me blush. I said, I love to make you blush, but I'm not going to do it. So now the whole audience knows I made you blush, but they don't know what I made you blush about, right? Because I did it off camera. But you all know there's a secret. Amanda and Ann have a secret. And look at you, even blushing that I'm mentioning the secret, right? But it's also, okay, that's the energy. That's the energy. It's like, ooh. You know, it's kind of like when you were young and you kissed somebody and you came out and you said, oh, I kissed somebody. And they go, ooh, your friends are like, you kissed him. And you're like, yeah, I kissed him. It's that energy. It's very exciting. It's Sagittarius. It's very fiery. It's very passionate.
Well, I like this, this opportunity to take the things that have been revealed and then say, okay, what is right? Like, what is the best right response here? And taking the Facebook example, it's like, well, if they want us fighting, and that actually is a profitable endeavor for them, maybe we could just say, hey, we're not going to play. we're not going to do that anymore. We know that like we're basically being baited into this and we're taking the bait. We've been taking the bait. We're not going to do it anymore. We're just going to get along, then see what happens. Right. You know, I know for me, and I mentioned this last week, that it for me just lit the fire for me to get us on other platforms. So instead of Astrology Hub only being on the platforms that you're used to seeing us at, we're going to start spreading our wings so that we can have redundant communication with you. And we're not dependent on some of these bigger companies that can make decisions that affect all of us like very quickly. So we're, you know, spreading out. So look for announcements on other platforms that we'll be on. But that's also why I was saying, make sure you're on our mailing list. And if you're just watching us on YouTube or Facebook and they're shutting us down, that we have another way to get in contact with you. So that's astrologyhub.com/insider. If you want to make sure that we can get in touch with you and say, hey, look, this platform's down. So we're over here. So check us out there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so in terms of the energy scale, what would you put us at?
Well, it's pretty intense because, you know, Saturn going direct always kind of rumbles off. You know, it's kind of like when you get up after sitting for a while and you're like, oh, and your knees are moving because Saturn rules knees. And then you kind of start moving a little, right? So you're going to feel it, not like it's going rapidly, but you're going to feel like it's tipping towards a movement, right? So that energy of, okay, what? But it's not like forward yet. So that energy is there. Plus, we have Venus in a hard aspect with Eris and Pluto. So that's going to happen on the 15th. So Venus in Sag, you know, she was, you know, when she was in Scorpio, she was kind of hanging out with them. But now she's going to make a hard aspect to Eris of a sesquiquadrate, right, which is stress but action. And then she's going to have a semi-square with Pluto. So Venus is going to be like, to your point, well, you're trying to make this fight. So what happens if we didn't? What happens if we took our ball and we went and did something else with it? Or we, you know, or maybe we realized when we didn't have stuff for 6 hours or 8 hours, however long it was out. Wow. Like, you know, look at what I got done, you know, in that time. So that's important. And then we also have Mars moving in and making a hard aspect to the nodes of fate on the 11th, which is asking us to make some different choices about how we proceed. Because Mars in Libra, answering to Venus in Sag, is saying, well, I know with a sesquiquadrate to the north node in Gemini, I know I should be doing that. But I really, all right, I'll do it. You know, there's a little bit of a sigh energy with this week. You know, because it's got an energy of moving forward, but not in a, you know, just like, really, now we have to go back and do that again. You know, it's got a little bit of a weariness. So it's not like crazy like last week was. So that's the good news. So no crazy, crazy stuff in there. But it definitely is, you know, I'm just kind of a little tired. Remember, Mars is not in his favorite sign when he's in Libra. And he liked it a little better when Venus was in Scorpio because they could swap places and he could be in Scorpio. But now he's in Sag. So he's a little dissipated. He's flickering. You know, the wind makes the candle flicker. You know, he gets stuff done, but it's not focused. It's kind of scattered. So it's scattered, not bad, kind of, you know, moving along, but not really into it. So that's where you want to kind of harness. Is the sun comes through and shows you things at the end of the week, what you want to do is harness music. You want to heart, because there's some hard aspects with Mercury this week where he's feeling contentious. And I was reminded in a lesson I was giving to one of my students this morning, Amy, you know, a lot of times with the Libra planets, they have a lot of inner chatter, you know, because they have to be talking about something. They have to be in some kind of dialogue or communication. What I recommend to those planets is to sing. Because when you're singing, you can't be talking to yourself nasty. So just sing a lot. make them, you know, put on some music and sing and, you know, get into it. I was watching Lady Gaga. She and Tony Bennett just released an album and she did a performance all over the world on September 30, you know, internet kind of thing. But she did a lot of the old jazz singles. So last night I was doing, you know, counting work. And I was listening, when we're dancing cheek to cheek, you know, and I'm just putting the numbers in and, you know, kind of listening, you know, singing old Cole Porter jazz numbers. You can't be in a bad mood when you're singing someone else's song. Although Also, Amy, she said, oh my God, we were listening, and no offense to any Billie Eilish fans, but we were listening to Billie Eilish. God, her songs are so depressing. I'm like, yeah. I know. I mean, I've heard the lyric. You know, you want to go, you know, you want to go sing like You're So Vain, or you want to go play Beach Boys. You know, let's get a little upbeat tempo rather than, you know, or even, you know, My Land, you know, Simon and Garfunkel. I am a rock. I am an island. And a rock feels no pain, and an island never cries. Don't do those songs. Do, you know, Who Puts the Kick in Champagne? You know, get up, do upbeat stuff.
Upbeat song. I always think how funny it would be is if we all just treated our life like a musical, and like as everything happens, you just sing about it.
Yeah, just sing about it.
Yeah. Okay, so in terms of the theme, what would you say is the theme of the week?
Knowledge.
Knowledge. Okay. So things are going to be revealed.
Things are going to be revealed. Knowledge. You're going to see stuff you hadn't, you're going to see it in a way you hadn't seen it before.
Okay.
You know, it's back to the, you know, when you observe something and you notice it and you observe it and you notice it, and you go, there's something going on there. And then when it's revealed, you go, oh, that's what it was. It's reveal.
Okay. In terms of the intensity scale, it's not as intense as last week, but it'll feel potentially intense because we're tired. We have to move forward, but we're weary. We're tired. We're like, okay, I know what I got to do, but like, I don't know if I have the energy to do it. So that may be an overwhelming feeling this week. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I mean, compared to other weeks that we've had, this one feels like relatively light.
Much nicer, much nicer. But Mercury is still retrograde, so he's still telling tales. And, you know, like ghosts coming back and people, you know, saying things to you. I can't tell you how many, I think I'm up to 22 people that found siblings or secrets out about babies getting put up for adoption, or it's kind of wild, this Mercury retro, because it's Mercury in Scorpio, so it was all these secrets, and then out of that there's been quite a few fights. You know, like, you're snooping on my life. No, I'm just doing ancestry.com, and it's showing me there's this person, you know.
So I don't know about all of you, but this Mercury retrograde has felt like the most intense one that I can remember. Like, literally, and it's been textbook. It's been like all the things that Mercury retrograde that we hear could bring that make it somewhat uncomfortable. It's like they've all happened in this one Mercury retrograde. Am I alone in that? Or are all of you feeling that?
My world, totally. My world.
In your world as well. And are you saying you found 22 siblings in this Mercury retrograde period? What?
22 of my clients have found siblings or birth parents or contacted the birth parent, or I've been keeping track because I was like, Mercury and Scorpio, secrets about sex, death, or taxes, right? So that's the stuff that's going to show up, and Mercury's going to talk about it. So it's
So Mercury retrograde,
I just got a little hash mark next to my, and I'm up to 20, because I was like, there's a lot of them, I'm gonna go back and count anyway. And I'm up to 22, and it's not over yet. I still got another week and a half.
In terms of how long our Mercury retrograde is going to be lasting, it starts to go direct on the 18th, correct? But then we're still in the shadow period for how long?
November 7th.
Until November 7th. So this energy of revealing, but is it no longer a Venus and Scorpio themed? Like, are we now moving to Venus and Sag?
We're now in Venus and Sag. So she's like, oh, here's a story, you know? It's public. It's on the internet. I can look up that I have a sibling. I have a half sibling. I have a cousin. You had a kid. You know, I mean, yeah, it's all on there. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sagittarius is the information's available to you.
Right.
It's legal. Yeah. It's legally there. I didn't have to. I wasn't snooping in your life. I just put my life up. One of them wrote, I wasn't snooping in her life. I just put my life up. And I'm like, right. But now you got found, you know. And this is also when they solve murders, you know, because the DNA of whatever is connected to whatever, and they contact the person, and then they go, okay, so, you know, do you have anybody? And they go, oh, my Uncle Billy's a little weird. Mm-hmm. And then Uncle Billy's the one that killed him. It's that kind of thing. Yeah.
And in these,
there's also been a lot of dead bodies being found, you know, like people that have been missing for a while, besides the Gabby, but they're, you know, okay, there's a dead body, there's a dead body. A lot of people that have been missing for a while, their remains have been found.
Hmm. And in terms of strategy for the exhaustion or the tiredness, I know we have singing. What other kinds of things would you recommend would be really important to prioritize this week?
Nature. Go out in nature. Walk. Read inspirational things that inspire you. Go back. Was there a movie that you really were inspired by? Was there something that you found interesting that you, you know, you remembered the story? You know, I was doing a lesson and I was talking to somebody and we were talking about, well, when I was in sales school, we were halfway through it and we were all exhausted. And Sandy Sproul she was the leader of the sales school. When I got up there, and Constance, I know, watches this. Constance was one of our trainers. And Constance was there in the front, you know, and Sandy did this analogy. Okay, how many of you ski? And, you know, raise your hand. And, you know, when you're skiing and you're coming down the mountain and then you get about halfway down, what you should do is turn around and look where you came from and then see how far you've come and then continue, you know, going down. Because it's recognizing when you're in this tired, how far you come. So it's looking for those stories of where the wisdom came in. Thinking about that wise person that used to give you knowledge. Thinking about, you know, I remember I loved that book or I loved that person. They were so helpful to me. They taught me this thing. So it's really Sagittarius is seeking out our wisdom leaders, seeking out the people that give us wisdom or share their wisdom with us. And in that wisdom, then we learn and then we share it with other people. That's the idea of Sagittarius. I learn it from this. I share it with you. And the wisdom spreads like candles do. So as we share our wisdom in the Sagittarian energy of Venus and Sag, she's like, share your wisdom. There's plenty to go around. This candle's not going out. I can light your candle and my candle continues to go. We don't have to put it out. We can share it. We can all be illuminated. You know, one of my friends goes, her closing on her signature is, may we all be illuminated. And I'm like, yeah, may we all be illuminated. Sagittarius. Mm-hmm. So the energy is illumination and seeking that Sagittarian wisdom. Now, sometimes Sagittarius says, I need to go on a hike. I need to go out into nature and climb a hill because Sagittarius is competitive. It likes to climb things. It likes to compete. So maybe you need a tennis game or you need to go climb a mountain and look at the view or you need to go climb something high because Sagittarius is hills. You maybe wear red because Sagittarius is red. It's fireman. Go date a fireman, you know. When I was young, I dated firemen. Let me tell you, they're fun. You know, I shout out to the firemen in the audience. But it's Sagittarius. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love it. So that if we combine all those things, we find a hill. Right? We wear red. We find a hill. We go.
That'll be a fireman.
With a fireman. Perfect. And maybe we stay there until it's dark and we can look at the stars and get some wisdom from the stars. It's all coming together.
It works. And yeah. Now be careful though, because if you're in California, it's very dry. No lighting the fire on the hill, because then the fireman has to come put the water out and arrest you.
Yeah, so that's not going to work.
No unintended fires. We want to no unintended fires. Yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Well, Anne, it's amazing to have a week. I know there's so many times where I go, Anne, when are we going to have a week where it's like, wow, that was kind of light. Like this feels like it. And I actually can't remember the last time we've had that.
Yeah. Well, it's not, you know, you might not like what you see at the end of the week when the sun goes through that thing, right? You might go, I didn't really like that. And that's okay. That's part of, you have to look. The sun is saying you have to look at this.
You have to look.
You can't just do it. You have to look at it and see it for what it is. And it is very observant. It's looking at the power and saying, hey, psychologically, what are you up to? And it's looking at Eris going, okay, so you're arguing. Do you really think that's going to be effective? Like, what are you doing here? Right. So it's an observation of the fighting energy towards making something better. And it's an observation of the power energy and going, you got to learn to share your power, big guy, or else, you know. Okay. So it's going to be, that part will be hard. And it really depends on how people feel about that. I mean, I find it endlessly fascinating. Ooh, that's you know, but I have Pluto in the seventh. I like to watch Pluto things happen. Other people go, oh my God, it's Pluto. I'm like, well, yeah, but you got to respect the old boy. You know, he's clear what he likes and he likes power. So we got to, you know, you want the mob guy, you want to use your force for good. You know, there's all different kinds of power.
Okay, Anne. So a couple of notes. Again, you're saying it, understanding why things have happened, This would be a good week to sit in the dark, light a candle, contemplate fire, contemplate flames. Think
call
about how you
want and say, I've got a fire in my house and see who shows up. You're not lying. You got a fire in your house.
Remembering to spread the light, you know, that you're lighting your candle and spreading the light with that. We are starting to have this energy of moving forward. We're getting clear on what's right, what's wrong, what's true. You could feel tired. We have lots of strategies to work with the energy. We're moving beyond this Eris Pluto square energy that we've been in since 2020, which is an interesting thing to be letting that go. Mm. And that's basically it. This is a time to see it for what it is. And don't be afraid to look at the truth, and don't be afraid to look at the light, and don't be afraid to look at whatever is there. It's being revealed for a reason. It's giving you information that you need in order to move forward and align with that path. And we've talked a lot about this on the show, that we're aligning ourselves to a path that we're going to be on for the next 20 years. So good to get our compass set in the right direction so that our trajectory is in the direction that we want to go. And it sounds like this time period is going to be a lot of recalibrating that compass based on the information that we have, so that we can really start to move forward in that, in the, right. the way we want to.
And remember, with the retrogrades, we're going back to January 4th for Pluto and February 14th for Saturn. So if you go back and look, like in your case, you go look at your photographs, right? Go yes. back and look at those stories. That story will be back up again, because Saturn, when he went retrograde, he got to a certain point and then he went, all right, let me go back. And he went back. Now he's back on the 14th. Kind of like when you leave the house and you realize you forgot your passport. You go, I got to go get my passport. So now he's back in, he got his passport, and now he's ready to go out again. So yeah. the energy of the 4th and the of January 4th and the energy of the 14th. And of course, you know, and we're having the subpoena sent out, right? So it makes sense, because now Venus is in Sag, and I want law. And before it was Venus in Scorpio, and I want your records. I want to know who you talk to. So we're going to see that story in the culture, but we're also going to see it in our own lives. What were you thinking you wanted to do in January? Well, now it's time to go do it. What were you thinking you were going to do in February? But you never really quite got to it, because you got delayed. You lived your life, and then the universe said, oh, no, go blah, blah, blah. And you're like, all right. Now he's saying, okay, go forward.
I think that's exciting. I've been feeling grateful for some of the Mercury retrograde energy, because we do have these ideas, these things we want to do. And then for whatever reason, they get put on the back burner. And then it's like, okay, now's the time to do it. It's like Mercury retrograde helps us order our steps, you know, because we have the idea, we have the inspiration, we have the impulse, and then something happens and we get delayed and we get sidetracked. And then Mercury retrograde comes and goes, hey, remember that? Remember that thing that you were really fired up about, or remember that thing you really wanted to do? Now's the time to bring it back online. So I, again, this Mercury retrograde has been so textbook for me that I can think of at least three very solid big things that I was wanting to do at the beginning of the year that for whatever reason didn't do. And now all of a sudden it's like, okay, go time. Let's do that. You know, paying attention to those things. And again, for me, it's less about, well, I was actually having lots of gratitude toward Mercury retrograde. And then the Venus and Scorpio side of Mercury retrograde came, I was like, oh, this part's not so fun. Not as fun as that other part was.
I live with Venus and Scorpio all the time. That's like my natural state. It's, you know, you have to kind of go, oh, wow, you really, what are you thinking, girl? And then you
have Venus and Scorpio? You have that?
She's only 4, but I've got her. Yeah.
My daughter has it too. And I have a lot of compassion for, I mean, this experience of being like, wow, if this is what Venus and Scorpio feels like all the time, I have so much compassion for you guys. Like, this is intense. Wow. Right. Gives me some insight into the emotional world.
Is that the one that got the dog or the other one?
They both got the dog.
Well, I know, but the one that's doing the momming thing with the dog.
Oh, the other one. Is a little more mommy. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, because Venus in Scorpio is very like, it's my dog.
Well, yes, there's that. I mean, I can't tell you how many arguments we've already had over whose dog it is.
I was going to say, it's, you know.
God, we need 2 dogs.
You're trying to make it everybody's dog, and it's like, no, you've got these little people going, my dog, you know, it's like, yeah, okay. Just checking, because that dog came in on Venus and Scorpio, so it's
going to. Well, we had a dog go out. We had a dog go out on Venus and Scorpio and a dog come in on Venus and Scorpio. It was so literal, the whole death and rebirth thing. And it's been fascinating. That's what I'm saying. Textbook. Like, it's been completely textbook. So, okay. And thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure to have this time with you. I feel like we have our notes. We have our direction. We know what's going on. We have our light that we
can see. Put your helmet on. Get ready to go out. It's fall. It's beautiful. Well, in, you know, in the Southern Hemisphere, it's summer, spring, but you know, it's the season's changing. We're getting that new energy. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And thanks to all of you for being here. I when I asked that Mercury retrograde question, a lot of people responded that yes, they are having a very intense Mercury retrograde more than ever. This has been a big one for all of us. And again, I love thinking about it as course correction. Like we're course correcting and we're getting aligned with the way that we need to go. Thank you, Mercury retrograde, even if it's not fun.
Well, you're showing us all about our passion.
Yes.
What is our passions? What are we passionate about? I mean, passion, you know, you can talk about stuff forever and you can say, you know, my vision, my vision, my vision, until you get the emotional clarity, you don't do it. And so you got the emotional clarity for the idea and the vision. Now Mercury in Scorpio said, yes, Amanda, implement redundancy, you know, and you're like, okay, got it. I hear you.
Yes, exactly.
That's the beauty. Because you can talk and think it, but until the emotional's in there stirring it up and saying, I passionately feel I need to do something. So we all got a dose of passion. And the passion led to the vision. And now the vision then will lead to Capricorn, the action.
It's like it goes from the head, from the idea, and the emotion brings it into the body. Then you're actually feeling it. So yeah, amazing. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thanks all of you for being here. Have a beautiful week. Get some rest, sing some songs, go out in nature. If you can find time to do any of those things, it would be awesome. And I want to thank you so much for being a part of our community. Thank you for being here, for showing up every week. I also wanted to give a shout out to our Inner Circle members and any students who have bought any of Anne's workshops or any of the things that we offer here.
Thank you.
Yeah, anything we offer here at Astrology Hub, because you make it possible for us to continue offering free shows like this. So thank you for participating in the different things that we offer. And thank you all, most importantly, for making astrology a part of your life. We will catch you on the next episode. Take care, everybody.
Share the light.
Are you looking for personalized guidance? Do you have questions about what you're meant to do and be in this lifetime? What you need in intimate relationships to really thrive? Or what major themes you'll be working with in the months to come? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you'll want to check out our personalized character and destiny and year ahead reports. These reports are perfect for you if you want professional insight into your astrology chart or year ahead. Written by internationally renowned astrologer, Adrienne Ross Duncan. Your character and destiny report provides deep insight into who you are and what you came here to do, your biggest strengths and challenges, and how your astrological design impacts your career and relationships. The Essential Year Ahead report gives you insights into the major themes you'll be exploring in your career, your love life, personal development, and much more. For only $37, you can get your personalized astrology report delivered straight to your inbox within minutes. Just go to astrologyhub.com/reports to get yours today. That's astrologyhub.com/reports.